On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Shit that I said, I have no intention of keeping. Get lost.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. All that shit I said before this, untrue.
Tall Can Sports. Damn it.
Fucking.
Well, you think you can just fucking talk.
You're right up on that mic and you're right, just you're giving her.
Well, that's how I do it.
Yeah, okay.
And that's how I set the levels for.
Yeah, my right.
You just sit back and just spew shit from your
sit
face.
Sit back and yeah. Well,
crank
out,
your
get,
level up.
Get out your umbrellas.
It's raining, man.
Yeah, I'm going to go downtown and get all wet.
Welcome to Tall Can Sports 102.
Woohoo!
A Christmas Eve edition.
Oh, I love it. I'm feeling festive.
Feeling very Olympic today.
Oh, coach.
Senka, you dead, man.
Coach.
To mark the occasion, we're going to talk a little World Juniors, which is, well, we're not even 2 years old yet. But for the first year and now 2 years, we're going to make it a tradition. It'll be World Junior Talk.
Well, it becomes an annual in the second year.
Yeah. Second annual World Junior thing. The second annual World Junior thing.
Yeah. It's not a white thing. It's not a black thing. It's a World Junior thing.
Right on, man.
Little
Arsenio, you make it sound
little
weird,
Arsenio Hall throwback there. The dog pound. And you know what? The lame noise doesn't make any. It's the visual that goes with it. Like every retard who's put their hand fist up and went, idiot. Yeah.
Aw, Audio Whiplash. Notable deaths. We forgot Harem. The monkey from the Cincinnati Zoo.
Oh, the 17-year-old, the gorilla you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, he got shot. Kid fell into the, yeah, okay.
Shoot the kid.
Shoot the kid.
Shoot
or
the
his
mom.
Parents. Yeah, yeah, shoot the parents who let the kid get that close.
For sure.
Save the gorilla. Who cries for the gorilla?
A lot of people this time.
Yeah, all right. I get that too. Yeah.
I can tell you that the NFL website started blocking people from putting Harem on the back of jerseys when they wanted them ordered.
Yeah. Really? Did they?
Yeah.
Well, honestly, there's probably a bunch of players there who...
Well, I think it was probably more fans, but...
No, I know, but I'm just saying...
Yes, yeah, stop. I'm trying to stop you from saying whatever monkey-related
I'm like, no, that's not where I was going at all. Oh, see?
I did
you
find
did
today...
That. You did that.
I believe I successfully passed it off to you.
Okay. Not really.
I did find today on Twitter, before we get into the World Junior thing, hashtag NHL Christmas carols.
Terrible.
Jarrett Stoll, the white-nosed reindeer.
Wasn't he a professional wrestler?
Jarrett Stoll?
Oh, it's Jeff Jarrett.
Oh. We Three Kings got arrested this summer.
Okay. The guy who's now Voinov, was he in there?
Yep. Jarrett Stoll, Mike Richards.
I guess
Richards was two summers ago, but the Kings are kind of a shady organization.
Well, I think it's the L.A. I think it's the L.A. thing.
Yeah, could be.
You're hanging out down there. Porn's a big thing.
Porn's a big thing everywhere.
Yeah, well,
I would think it's a bigger thing in like Columbus.
No, I think the industry is run out of there, right?
Well, so probably.
And honestly, billions of dollars and, you know, all the nudity and sex makes you do crazy things.
How about Taylor Hall for Adam Larson?
Nope. Yeah, okay, you know what we can, yeah.
Just to me, that was maybe my highlight of the year.
That trade or the song?
The trade.
Okay, if it didn't happen on the
song was top five.
Yeah, if it didn't happen on the same day that Weber got traded for PK and Stamkos re-signed, then...
Yeah, okay.
Honestly, what a fuck smash of a day that was.
Can I hit you with one last Christmas carol before we move on?
Sure. Can you tell that I'm clearly not nearly as enthused about it as you are?
I think you might be with this one.
Okay.
I think this is going to be great. Tim Hortons got run over by O'Reilly. No? All right. I hope someone enjoyed that.
You know what? You probably could have sold me on the Taylor Hall for Adam Larson. Ha, 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 ha. I could have got, yeah. That has.
Yeah. There's something to it.
Tim Hortons got run over by O'Reilly.
Yeah. Grandma got run over
by O'Reilly. That's fucking terrible.
No way. That's the best one.
Okay. That's the show. That's a wrap, folks.
Merry Christmas, fuckers.
Merry Christmas and get fucked.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. It goes without saying.
World Juniors, we'll talk a little bit about this year's tournament, but this is something that, and I don't know if it's actually your enthusiasm for it way back in the day that got me into it. I can't remember. This becomes something that a lot of people watch as their only junior hockey of the year. Maybe a little Memorial Cup.
Right.
But
and you know what?
TSN does such a good job with it, has turned it into this property.
You and I talked about it. Well, at length, but we both have big junior hockey backgrounds, right? Not like Nate, not nearly.
Right.
He's got it covered from a living angle, from a professional angle, right? He covers it in depth, but from a young kid growing up in Peterborough, I would go as a fan, right? I love junior hockey, and even before that, here in Ottawa, to me, I didn't know the difference at a young age between 67s and Montreal Canadiens, right? To me, it was...
Sure. Yeah, my uncle, I can remember as a kid, he had Generals season tickets, and I remember the first time he asked me if I wanted to come with him to a game. And I was like, yeah. And it was a big deal. You're walking into this hockey arena, these guys, they look big, right? They're flying around.
Well, they are big.
Yeah. It's a huge deal, man. It was a lot of fun as a kid to go and check
that out.
And
the place is packed, and people are, screaming and yelling.
Plenty of cowbell.
Lots of cowbell. And this is, and so to me, and then... Yeah, and Peterborough, it's really the only show in town, right?
Fuck Peterborough,
like most junior hockey towns, right? It is big league sports, right? And so now I've gotten away from that a bit. I don't follow it. The odd Friday night Sportsnet does a great job with their game of the week on Friday nights, right? Which they'll take you to various places throughout the country.
RJ Broadhead and Sam Cosentino.
I don't get a lot of junior hockey anymore. So, yeah, you're right. Right, short of a little Mem Cup, this is sort of the showcase event for junior hockey.
So we're going to talk a little bit about this year's tournament and team, but if you want to hear more about that, Tall Can Sports 101, the last episode, we did have Nate Sager on to talk about. It was during the camp, but most of his predictions on who was going to make it and who wasn't were dead on.
Nate's really dialed in with junior hockey bit, right?
Sure. So if you want to hear more about this year's team in depth, Tall Can Sports 101 with Nate Sager of The Score and Sportsnet. He'll get you filled in. We're going to come at this as a little more casual, a little more event based than team specific. But the one thing that seems to be, I've seen guys like Bob McKenzie who, I don't know if he's as junior hockey centric as
Craig Button.
Right, he does his draft rankings and is whatever, and he seems to know what he's talking about. Well, but
and Bob knows what he's talking about because Bob is seriously connected
everywhere
to
at every level
everywhere. And that's why when he's talking, when he does his draft,
Right.
It's not so much his knowledge of junior hockey. It's his connections with GMs.
Lots of scouts and
head scouts.
Right.
Right. And so, honestly, he's 27 for 30-ish most years, right, in terms of his.
And he's got a podcast now. Every 2 weeks, the TSN Bobcast. And it's just him one-on-one answering fan questions. Pretty good. You should check it out.
I should. Because I like him, and he's so knowledgeable.
Well, and he talks about a lot of stuff. He's been talking about he's getting more and more into wines, some of his music stuff. He tells some great stories. It's not just hockey, so it's pretty cool. Not as cool as this, so we'll stay on target. One of the things that seems to be a frequent criticism of this tournament is that, it's just one of those things one country cares about, and Canada wins it all the time, and what... Canada has one medal in the last 4 years. Now, it's a gold, but before that even, there's a bronze in there. Canada has, there was a silver lost to Russia in Buffalo.
Yeah. There was one lost to the Americans in Calgary.
Yeah, I think it's Calgary.
Saskatoon, Edmonton.
Maybe it was the Saskatoon one, yeah. But it is no longer a thing that, if Canada doesn't win, it's because Canada fucked up with selection or something. This is a real thing. And the Swedes are a factor. The Russians have been a factor for a long time. The Americans this year look great, and that's even without Brock Boeser, who they've lost to a wrist.
Okay, and not only that.
The Finns last year.
Noah Hanifin.
Yeah.
That's a name that keeps getting thrown out when they're talking about Americans. Like, Matthew's not going to be there.
Right.
And they're like, notable Americans not making it, or not being released, and they're talking about...
Noah Hanifin, Austin Matthews.
I was going to say Austin. I'm like, that Matthews kid, what's his first name? Totally escaped me. That Matthews kid in Toronto. And Noah Hanifin, I'm like, isn't Noah Hanifin like 25 years old by now? Like, he played in a World Junior, and I swear he's played 3 years in the NHL now.
Well, it's even Connor McDavid is still eligible to play for Canada.
Yeah, and it's, you know what? They were talking today, and I was listening to Mark Masters. He was on the radio. TSN's, who's totally, he does all this on-site coverage. And
every year he's become part of the crew. Yeah.
And he was saying he would really like to see them take a different approach in terms of how they announce the captaincies and the assistants, right? They didn't, you know, it's kind of getting panned, especially here locally, with how they released the captaincy.
People wanted Shabbat?
Well, no, Shabbat's an assistant.
Yep.
So, no, I think people are fine with that. But as you as a Leaf fan are well aware of our, you know, inferiority complex, the Senators, right?
The little brother complex.
And so Ducharme, the head coach, is saying, you know, our captain Strome, right, an applause. And our first assistant, our assistant Barzell.
Yep.
Yeah, and then an applause. And he's like, and then our other assistant is Shabby here. And people are like, what the fuck?
You show the Ottawa guy more respect.
What is it? You forget what his name was? You know, like, and to me, I think more than, it's not a big deal.
Right.
But to me, people are saying, yeah, it's disrespectful. He forgot his name. He wasn't even important enough. To me, I think it's a French coach who coaches in the queue, right?
Yeah.
Who has a relationship, who has an understanding of the French kid, and
to him it's Shabby.
Shabby.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a familiarity thing.
Sure.
Not a
right.
I forgot his name. It's I know him well enough.
This is all I've called him for 3 years now or whatever it's been.
This is it. Yeah. Right. And so I think that's the chip on the little brother's shoulder there. Yeah, get over it. Right? So
now he looks like he will be a top pair guy with Noah Juulsen, most likely.
They're saying with Meyer,
Yeah, Myers?
Yeah, the two of them have been playing together.
Okay.
So that would leave
Juulsen with Bean, probably.
And Ducharme was saying, he said he loved the way those two have played together as a top line. Not only could they bring the offense, but they can smother you with their skating. They're on. There's no gaps.
Right.
He's been really happy with. And to me, Shabbat, since he went back, he stuck around Ottawa for about 15 games. Only dressed in three.
A little like Matthew Barzell in that regard, who spent 20 games, I believe, with the Island. The Islanders, and only, I think, dressed for three.
Right. And so they sent him back, and he's just... Now, you know what? They took him on a West Coast trip, right? Just sort of getting his legs under him, see what it's like to be a bit of a pro, and then send him back.
Right.
And he's been ripping it up, Shabbat we're talking about here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, offensively, I think that's going to be a good skating top pair. Anyways, I don't have a pile of info.
Right.
In terms of breaking down the
thing about this tournament is so few of us do going in, right?
Wait, sorry, before we get away from that,
yeah.
Mark Masters was saying, yeah, you know, we need to come up with something grander, right, in terms of putting the spotlight and having this be a moment in the tournament, right, where you announce these, because for some of these guys, this is the biggest moment, right, that right. They're gonna, some of your Daniel Tkachuks never make it any further.
Your
right?
Rico Fadas.
Yeah, this is it, right? This is, well, Rico Fada didn't even really.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Whereas Tkachuk was key in this.
Yes.
And but he's like, you could have, you know, Connor McDavid come back and he's like, oh, wait, yeah, okay. Curtis Lazar come back and announce, you know, I was captain and this year's captain is. And I'm like, think about that. Think about 2 years ago when they had this. And Connor McDavid was in the tournament, and Lazar was the captain.
Yeah.
And what a big role Lazar played in that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a big deal for Ottawa to loan him back at that point, and you're getting some experience and some size.
And he took a lot of the pressure off of McDavid in terms of covering, doing the media bit and all that sort of stuff, and how important that was. And it reminds me, and so it was odd, right? Because you look at it now, fast forward 2 years, and you go,
it was the last important thing he did.
What the fuck? Right? And it was huge.
Yeah, yeah.
What he did there. And
for
was
sure it was.
And he's struggling, right, at the NHL level to be more than a third or fourth line guy. And he's got no goals this year, I think. He's been in Binghamton for a bit, whereas McDavid is fucking ripping it up and is leading the league in scoring. And
yeah.
And now nobody projected Lazar to be that. But it reminds me a bit of, you know, Bergeron and Crosby together.
Yeah.
Right? That Bergeron was the captain on that team, right?
Yep.
It wasn't Crosby.
Yep.
And a lot of people thought that, yeah, Bergeron was a guy who, you know, was a straw that stirred the drink on that team despite how well Crosby played, right?
Yep.
And so you look at the junior level and you go, ooh, transfer that up. Now, if Lazar could ever be Bergeron, everybody over the moon. But I'm just saying in terms of how things.
It's an interesting tournament in that regard, right?
Guys who are great at 9 aren't great at 14. Likewise, guys who at 18 or 19, just the way things move and develop and everything. And now again, Crosby was awesome at 18.
Sure, 17.
Yeah, 14.
Yeah, probably. Well, but I think he was wearing the full cage in Grand Forks. I think he was a 17-year-old. But yeah, it's an interesting dynamic, and we're not going to break down this team too much because we've kind of done it. And
tough division, though, right? And I'm not sure what you and Nate covered, but
we didn't cover the divisions at all. It was just
man,
this
because you look there. At Canada in the same division. They opened against the Russians,
who are always around. They've left a couple of names behind, apparently, right? Like
yeah,
okay, that I've read.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah, the Americans.
Yeah, and the
man.
Americans in the division. So you have Boxing Day with the Russians,
New Year's Eve
with the Americans. And I think the Americans are
heavily, well, they've lost one of their top guys in Brock Boeser, a Vancouver pick, wrist surgery, I believe it was. But they still look damn good. And this is probably, I think, as we look at this tournament, every year it's Canada who's hurt the most by guys left in the NHL.
Guys who can't play.
I don't think you can make that argument. I mean, I guess Connor McDavid trumps everything else,
well,
right?
You have the highest scoring guy in the planet.
Sure.
You're hurt by that.
Sure. But if you look at even the Finns, their whole top line from last year is still eligible.
Well,
and
Aho,
they're not back.
I don't know if Aho is still
but Laine, Puljujärvi,
Seabass, Aho
are eligible to return and won't
for
be.
Sure. For
the
sure.
Americans, with as you mentioned, Noah Hanifin, Austin Matthews, and there's more than that, and their names at this point are escaping me, which is irresponsible.
Well,
but
when you have 20 of the first round is Americans getting drafted last year, right? Your class, that's an exaggeration. But
it was high.
The team will be strong.
Yeah.
Right? So
their only question appears like it might be in goal, which won't be the first time that's been the case for an American team at this event. But they look strong. The Russians are always tough. The Swedes, from everything I've read, might be the favorites.
Bolstered by young Alex Nylander.
Yeah.
On loan back from the AHL.
Sabres, yeah. Yep. So I think maybe just even as a border city, a fuck you to Canada.
Right? And likely the better of the two Nylander brothers.
Easy, settle the fuck down, you hater. you sound like Steve Simmons.
Yeah.
This is an interesting thing. The last time, as I said, Canada only has one medal in the last 4 years. It's a gold medal.
I wonder if I could get a similar forum or a soapbox that if I can just hate on Toronto like Steve Simmons does.
While in Toronto.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah. Because he is a hater.
Honestly.
He's a 416 hater and he's right there.
Yeah. The six.
I hate that. Don't do that.
The six God.
Okay. Yeah. Fuck that guy too.
So that's their only medal in the last 4 years is a gold medal in Toronto. This year it's flipped. Toronto hosts the preliminary round.
Yeah, crazy
round.
Long shot. Crazy long shot, for a medal this year. I mean, sorry.
Canada's never a crazy long shot.
Right.
For a medal.
I think they're a semifinal team. They lost in the quarters to the Finns last year.
Yep.
I think this is a team that's going to play in a semi.
And so that's what I'm saying is for people who we mentioned – this tournament gets the most attention, or junior hockey gets the most attention for this 2 week period every year. It gets even more when it's at home because it's in prime time, right?
Yeah, are you feeling that this year?
Yeah, I'm not, but I do think once it gets going, because 2 years ago, you and I went to that pre tournament game here in town, Canada, Sweden, and I wasn't feeling a ton of buzz yet then either. So,
yeah, but you know what the most impressive thing about that night was?
Another a-ho.
Yeah, okay, well, that was awesome. Yeah, for sure. No, the most impressive thing about that night was a Canada win. Nylander got stopped on a shootout.
William Nylander, yeah.
Yeah. But Lyndon Sluage, the anthem singer here in Ottawa, sang the Canadian and the Swedish anthem.
That is unbelievable.
And in Swedish.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
That's impressive.
That is impressive.
Normally you would sing the Canadian and you'd bring out...
Yeah, somebody from
Alfie's
the consulate.
Son or
yeah,
something.
Exactly.
that was impressive, but
I'm
do
not feeling
find
a pile of buzz, and I think a lot of it has to do with the roster.
I don't agree with that. I do
okay,
think.
Well, you can disagree, but
what was the difference last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? You don't ever know half
okay,
of these guys.
When you have Connor McDavid 2 years ago in the lineup.
Okay, so what was the difference the 5 years before that?
Well, I just think you have it, there's a lot more name appeal this year to me. There's very little.
I just think that's hindsight. I think Dylan Strome.
Well, I'm telling you right up front right now.
Dylan Strome is a name. People know Dylan Strome if you're a hockey fan. This is going to be his second year doing it.
Right.
He was a high draft pick.
He just got released though, yeah?
He got sent back to junior late November.
Right.
Yeah.
And so to me... he is a name, and he's an obvious choice for captain. He's all those things, and he's saying the right things. But, yeah, beyond then, anybody outside of the Ottawa market doesn't know Thomas Chabot and Matt Barzell. To me, if those are the names you're bringing out.
I think that's overstating because
okay,
you could say hey, every year we don't know most of the guys.
Hey, and I'm sure the listeners, yeah, okay, that's true. But I think you have we listen to enough sports. We watch enough sports. Right, that you get in the month leading up, you get the names are running around, and you go, like, what's the guy's name from Regina who got cut? Steele.
Yeah.
Sam Steele? Yep. Joe Steele?
Sam
Larry
Steele?
How are you?
Larry Steele. It's a power name.
Well, this is it. And so.
My father is Larry.
Yeah, well, and so to me, that's a name that I've never heard of before, right? But he's either, he's for sure leading Regina, and he's upper reaches of WHL scoring. And
but you don't feel that way most years?
No, I feel like in past years I've had a
like,
better...
Do you know Tyson Jost?
Well, I know Tyson Jost.
Noah Juulsen, Jake Bean.
Okay.
Like, I know.
Okay, but Tyson Jost was... He's one of those BC guys, played Tier 2, I think, last year. And I know that from our draft show.
Colorado draft pick.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I think maybe, and I don't know this... maybe you're just a little more disconnected this year than in past years.
Right. And you know what? Listeners will let us know.
Sure. At Talkan Sports. Hit
I'm
us
just
up
I'm not and I love the Christmas tournament. Eve. I love the tournament.
Sure. Of course.
But I'm just man, it seems like it's
and
especially
I,
for a home for yeah. a home game.
And I do feel like I'm arguing against my point a little bit here in that the last time 2 years ago when we won gold medal, like I said, our only medal in the last 4 years.
Max Domi, McDavid.
Duclair. Bennett, Lazar. I get it. We were loaded down. But that was a – and they have that inevitable debate that they have sometimes, right, where is this the best team Canada ever? And
that was not it.
It was a good one, though.
Okay, but
– no, I for me, it's Grand Forks. But
– and then maybe the Vancouver team.
Yeah, the one right up behind it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's true. But – that was a star-studded team.
With that bus team in the 90s that with the first lockout, they said Daig and all those guys back, and
yeah,
man, they finished eighth.
Dope.
Yo! Well, that's Ottawa's big draft pick, Daigle.
On the big stage.
Yeah, that's what you do.
That's Toronto's too. Nazem Kadri's year we lost.
Yeah, okay, well, Nazem Kadri.
I guess you didn't have quite the same hype coming in as Alex Daig.
No, Daig was going to be the next guy.
Yeah. Wow. So it is a less star-studded.
Daig, when he gets drafted, says, yeah, well, I don't care what happens from now on. Nobody remembers who gets drafted number two.
We all remember Alex Daig.
And number two that year, Peterborough Pete, drafted by the Hartford Whalers. Chris Pronger.
Oh, I remember him.
Well, that's a terrible take, Alex. Well, Ottawa should have took that guy. That's no! True.
Not always great when Ottawa takes a defenseman with their first overall pick, though. So,
yeah, okay, and we've had that anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
Different show, ladies and gentlemen, different show.
It's Chris Phillips I'm referring to, anyway. But it is. It's a less star-studded team, and it's probably not as good as 2 years ago, but I don't think you ever rule Hart, I forget his first name, our goalie Hart, he's had a great year, and he plays on a team where he faces very similar to what he's going to see with Canada, right, where you may not get a ton of shots, but his claim to fame is supposed to be that he can stay focused, whereas, man, over the years with your Vizintines and your Wedgwoods over the last couple...
Mark Vizintine.
That seemed to be a thing, right? Like, that they just... You'd be... out shooting someone 40-12 and they'd lob some soft shit in and...
Jamie Storr.
You know, you're going way back. Maxime Ouellette.
Man, every time Jamie Storr... It's Storr! Is it score? Is it Storr? Yeah,
no, it was probably score.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, no, they won. Ginla was on that team. Yeah. It's a solid team, man.
That one guy. That's two guys. Yeah, that's a long time ago. That's
for sure.
So, I guess with the buzz talk and everything you're saying, what's your interest / excitement level heading into this year's? It seems like it's low compared to...
And honestly, and I'm not sure what it is, if it's just...
Prime time is going to be sweet. Home games.
No cable at home.
Yeah, okay. I didn't expect you'd be at home all the time.
No, I won't be at home at all, probably. Exactly. So, it's... But yeah, no, I'll love 10, it. I'll love it. No, yeah, no, it's still probably a 7 right now.
Yeah.
Honestly, since the early 90s, I've been jacked about it every year.
Right.
So this to me is uncommonly low at 6.5, maybe right now.
Yeah.
Once it opens, yeah, I'll be very interested.
Opening day, we don't get our usual France or Poland or something. It's the Russians right out of the
Belarus,
chute.
Denmark.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always an easy, nice way to ease into it. It's normally like I said, yeah, let's say it's Denmark, and then maybe you got to ramp up to Switzerland, and then the Czechs, and then the Americans or something to rule it. No, it's a nice ramp.
I like this better.
Where you could get punched in the face right away.
Right on. Let's do it. Let's get bloody.
I think Canada can lose one of the two to Russia or USA and be okay. If they lose both...
I'm thinking with our division, you could lose both those and still get a 3 seed.
You don't want to see the Swedes in the crossover, though.
The Swedes are going to win that division.
Okay. I agree with you, probably, but if something crazy happens over there, I'd rather not... They're not going to fall to third. Can the Finns jump up and bite them in the ass? Nope. Yeah, maybe.
I don't think so. I think there's
they're
four teams...
defending champs.
Yeah, I know. I think there's four teams in this tournament... And then there's a bunch of other teams. And I think, the Finns are victims of what, again, as you've already mentioned, success. Last year's success. Maybe they peaked a year early, too, right? That was part of the problem, right? Line A and Puljujärvi, right, with those big seasons, drafted high, right, and then gone, right? So that's a predominantly Russian, I mean, Canadian and American problem.
Yes.
Right? And so I think the Finns won't even play for a medal.
Wow. I disagree with that. We'll revisit that in January.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think they do.
Okay.
I don't think the Finns
will not be a semifinalist.
They will not be a semifinalist.
So you've got the Canadians, Americans, Swedes, and Russians.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to look at the bracket, or at least a 1-4-2-3 right in the cross.
Yes.
Right, and I'm thinking the Finns will finish second over there. We'll have to play a third seed.
So they're
going to play either Russia, USA, or Canada in a quarterfinal.
Yep.
I don't think the Finns are beating any of those three.
I think they're facing the Russians and losing.
Okay.
Or they're beating the Russians. Sorry.
Okay. Yep. Well, then this is where the tournament hinges for the pair of us then.
Yep. True enough.
Because I don't think the Finns are beating the Swedes to win that division, and I don't think they're beating one of those top three teams in our division. In a 2-3.
Right. Okay. Well, that's going to be interesting.
Book it!
Yep. And we will address that in January when we come back, if we remember. Well,
and I will address it with as much bravado as I do today.
If he wins.
If I win. True.
We talked a little bit in the past about, probably on last year's show, I don't want to repeat things too much, but safe to say your favorite World Junior memory is being at the 09 Eberle game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably, okay, yeah. That's one of my top three sporting moments, right? So I think I thought it was done, and I'm sure we covered it last year. I thought it was done.
That was a year ago.
Done. And so it was one of those moments where, and as I said to you, man, it was like total strangers are high-fiving each other and everything, right? And I'm there with, that's 7 years ago, I'm there with my 8-year-old daughter.
Right.
At the time, she would have been 9. but yeah, she's going to have a memory
forever
for life.
Yeah.
Right. No matter what else happens, she's going to have kids in hockey when she gets older. And even if she played hockey right up until she was 16.
Right.
So yeah, you know what? That's one of those things. I think any generational sort of moment. 7 years later, man, people are still talking about that as right up there with those moments in Canadian sports.
Oh, yeah. The Eberle goal is there with the Henderson goal and the Crosby goal. And
the golden goal!
Right. Great call. Love Chris Cuthbert.
Him and Julia Childs.
And Canada. Once in a lifetime. Olympic goal. Yeah, no, it's... That was the same year as maybe my favorite memory, where I'm at a New Year's party, and
I turned it off. Or I didn't turn it off, but I walked away from it.
Right. That was the Canada-USA New Year's Eve game. And I mean, how can you not? Obviously, the Eberle goal is, but I'm sitting in my basement with one or two other people watching that game. But this was at a New Year's Eve party, and I managed to talk the person hosting it into... who couldn't care less about hockey, can you just throw it on the TV in your room? I'll walk in every now and then, check the score, and walk back. Right? So that happened, and I basically sit down and watch. And if people remember, the Americans jump out to the 3-0 goal, or 3-0 lead. One of the Yanks goes skating down the Canadian bench with his hand beside his ear, like because he's silenced this Canadian crowd.
A raucous Ottawa crowd, too.
Yeah, not at the time.
No, but that
throughout the whole tournament, for sure. And it's John Tavares's year. He's leading the team back.
He was dynamite in that tournament.
Unbelievable,
too.
Yeah. And he comes all the way back to make it 3-3. Not just him. I think it was actually Chris DiDomenico who scores the goal to tie it at 3. And as he goes back to the American bench, someone sticks their stick out and hits
him in the face. Yeah. That was the better in terms of the Russia game and that in the Russia semifinal game.
The Russian game was more dramatic, but it was not as good of a game.
It wasn't as nasty. It wasn't as all those.
And Canada score, and then the Russians had come right back. But it was kind of choppy hockey, right?
It was like choppy, and it didn't have the intensity that the New Year's Eve game had.
Right.
Because, again, I left it at 3-0. I was hosting. There was family was over. You know, we're doing a bunch of things. It was young kids.
Yep.
So it was sort of going, but I had it on the basement on the big screen with the wood stove going. And, you know, I went back later to, you know, stock up the fire, right? And you look, go, hey, it's 4-3 Canada.
What happened?
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, you look, what?
But so at the start, I'm sitting in at this New Year's Eve party on the end of someone's bed watching this 23-inch TV. But by the time this game is over,
huge in 1982.
Well, not huge in 2009. By the end of it, there's like 12 people standing around me or sitting on this bed watching, yeah, and like three people in the living room at the party, right? Like, it just had become this thing that, man, hell of a tournament, hell of a... That, like you said, that was the John Tavares year. That was one of Pierre Maguire's thing, the John Tavares show. He was calling it all.
Well, and so it had Ellis.
Cody Hodgson at the time, remember, was a big.
PK Subban.
Alex Pietrangelo, I believe, was on that team.
For sure he was.
Angelo Esposito.
Yeah, wow. See, there's Rico Fada.
The Rico Fada. Yeah.
And Angelo Esposito are somewhere together. I'm not entirely sure where that is.
They're on the North Belfast Giants.
Yeah, okay, this is it. Or we'll see them somewhere over there playing for Stuttgart.
In the Spangler Cup,
exactly, playing for Luke Richardson.
That John Tavares year, that because he factors into the goal that you're talking about, too. He's on the ice when Eberle scores his goal, and we probably touched on this last year, but that was a year ago. There are three distinct, unbelievable plays to make that happen.
It was Ellis knocking it down at the blue line.
Up in the air, as he said, knocking it down and managing to fire it back down the boards. And Tavares has got two guys on him that he's trying to, and all he manages to outbattle both of them and backhand it towards the net. And Eberle, instead of knowing time's running out, instead of just firing it on his forehand.
Or jamming it.
Yeah. Right. He manages to pull it to his backhand and get around, and I always remember this name just because it's a fun one to say. Jalobniak was the name of the Russian goalie.
Good for you, man.
And he roofs it on his backhand like it's fucking practice in the driveway or something. Three plays, all of them crucial, all in a row. Never again will you fucking...
Right. Will you see that?
Right. That much pressure at home, that age. Unreal, man.
Well, and there was no way they were going to lose that game after that.
No.
Like the 10-minute overtime, I don't even know if the Russians got a shot on goal in the overtime. It was just like the ice had tilted.
Right.
And, man, it was, to me, so that, but I've had the incredible good fortune of going to, I was in the 03 games as well, where I went to see Halifax. Honestly, I went to see probably 25 games over 7 days, honestly. Getting my fill of Germany, Czech, right? Just whatever. And there'd be three games a day because they had the two divisions.
It was all at the Metro Center.
Yeah, except for they had, Canada was always in Halifax for the whole thing, but the other division was in St. John's.
Oh, really? Wow. Seems like, could be. Not questioning. I knew it wasn't right downtown Halifax.
It was hosted down in... it wasn't there. Cape Breton.
Okay, yeah.
And so, I watched every game. Well, I'm at the in-laws, so I don't want to. I can either stay at home or I can. He had tickets to every game, so nice. I took in every game. Right, took my kids, and honestly, my kids at that time, my daughter was 3 and my son was 1.
But you know, I think that's what's missing now. Like half of it's out in Montreal, and half. At least you knew when you bought Canada. And I know it was he who bought the tickets, but when you have it all, Canada's in Halifax, and then so will all the playoffs.
Yeah. It's a mess.
And there's people shitting on 2 years ago, Montreal hockey fans, and this year, Toronto hockey fans, for not wanting to sell it. I'm going to miss the best fucking parts of it.
Right. And you know what? In the 09 game, Dean Kozak, who's listening, they were his tickets.
Right.
He got a job. He and his wife moved out west. Right, but he had already bought the tickets. He had a full game package.
Right.
So he and myself and his former neighbor, who we sort of split the tickets.
Right.
I think Dean took a bath on the price of them, but we sort of paid him. He was sort of paid him. Well, no, we paid him.
Yeah.
But I don't think he ever got what he paid for them.
Right.
But yeah, it sort of came down to we divided it up. And so, yeah, I saw a Germany-Canada game. I saw Kazakhstan-Germany. I mean, Kazakhstan-Canada game. I saw
16-0 or something.
Right. And so I took those two games, and I opted for the two semifinals.
Right.
And I left both medal games. I wasn't interested in seeing either of the – because there's no guarantees Canada's going to play anywhere, right?
Right.
So if I take the two semis,
yes.
I can watch the gold medal, or the if Canada doesn't play in the gold medal, then I'm not –
right.
On the hook for a letdown bronze medal game.
Right.
So, yeah, I sort of... I.
That's not a bad strategy.
Right, although I wished I was at the New Year's game. The place I was at sucked, which is my home with my family there. But, yeah, but to me, Halifax was a gas. It's a sold-out Metro Center, 10,500 every game. They set the attendance record prior to Ottawa, resetting it prior to blah, 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 right?
A couple of times, yeah. I think Calgary, right. Edmonton took it, and then Buffalo maybe. And,
But I remember the 50-50 draws at the Metro Center, which, like, again, only 10,000 people, not the 18,500 that was in Ottawa.
Right.
Man, it was $60,000 in 50-50. Or, like, people just lining up, missing parts of the game to buy 50-50 tickets. Now, I know all you Western people listening, right, going, well, I was at a CFL game where the 50-50 got up to $350,000.
That Calgary-Edmonton split that they did a couple years set an all-time record for
right.
became a huge
and
thing.
It just, yeah. The Westerners love their 50-50. I don't know what the deal is there. But, yeah, to me, I remember just it being obscene,
right?
At that time, you think, my buddy at a Pete's game won a 50-50 one time. He didn't want to buy tickets either. We went in, and he won $800.
Yeah.
Well, at the time, I was like, $800? I'd kill you for $800.
And I might.
Yeah, well, this is it. But he was driving, too. But, yeah, so to win $60,000 in
– yeah.
It's crazy. But to me,
that was – almost pay back the tickets.
That was a great tournament.
Yeah.
So I have super fond memories of that, too, right? But –
and that's one of those things where I think Hockey Canada, they're milking everyone for all they can, but they're really fucking up here. Like, if you want to do the Toronto-Montreal split, I think you can do it. But you can't split, you can't take Canada on one side and then the playoffs on the other.
See, and Ottawa did it.
The way they did it made sense.
I know, but Canada games were all at the Corral Center, Scotiabank Place.
Which was also where the playoffs were.
Right. All there, and then the other division was just downtown where the 67s play.
At the Civic, right.
The 10,000-seat arena, right? So,
whereas what Calgary and Edmonton did was Canada, all their games in Edmonton, and all the playoffs in Calgary. Same right. as Toronto, Montreal's do.
Yeah.
And you're fucking over good markets.
Right.
Like, you really are.
Well, because people don't want that.
Right. Look, if you're going to bath me here, like take me for a bath and all this money, fine. But you got to tell me I'm going to see everything.
Yeah. And I'm not sure, why wouldn't they just have given
Montreal a tournament in Toronto?
Yeah, this is it. The 2014 games to Toronto, yeah. And they give the 2016 games to Montreal.
The other games are down at Rico or even out in Hamilton or whatever.
This is it. This
and
is it.
Same in Montreal. I'm sure they. I know there's junior hockey
ACC
ranks around
and Rico,
there. Yeah,
right there.
You're
bam.
Done.
You have them both.
Yep.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Well, I'm sure they made more money this way, selling full packages to companies and corporations.
Well, and you hope so. But I think, and you and I have talked about this, I'd much rather go to Latvia. I'd rather see a World Junior Games in Riga.
Yep.
Or I'd rather go to Zurich.
Right.
Right.
And that's been a long time thing of me. If I ever won the lottery, I'm taking 10 friends and we're off to
Lexand
or wherever.
I'd love to spend, you know, 7, 8, 10 days in Europe somewhere.
Right.
Right, where, hey, it's the environment of the
– right.
You're around the game, and then you're going out.
Yep.
And you're partying, and you're having a great time away from it here.
And it's usually Canadian service members are the people making up
– family.
It's Canadian service members
and
the families. Yeah. I got my break from Afghanistan. I'm flying up to Berlin.
And so to me, and I'm with you, that's what I would love to do.
Yeah.
I don't have 10 friends, so – I'm not going to
two friends.
Exactly.
I might be a solo trip.
But I'm flying first class, baby.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'll buy friends when I get there with my lottery wins.
This is it. Russian prostitutes.
In Team Canada.
Sure, man. Look at us go.
Right on. Niet on the back. One, the other big memory for me and for most people is obviously the Lexand shootout against the Americans.
Yeah, hey, just before we get into that,
yeah,
I heard somebody today, one of these talking heads, saying, "Oh, Jonathan Toews," which is where you're going with the Lexand thing,
yep.
Right? It's I'm just saying, you know, oh, he's only got 14 points so far this season. You know, he's going the way of Dustin Brown. He's on the downside of his career. What's what I thought of that? Yeah. Wow. That's crazy talk. Just the sheer volume of heavy hockey that he's experienced. Olympics, World Cup, all those playoffs, the three cups.
Yep.
Just the sheer volume of hard, heavy hockey that he's played. I'm thinking, wow, that's...
That whole team would be well served to miss the playoffs this year.
Chicago?
Yeah, and just go rest for 6 months.
I think Chicago has, man, Chicago looks good.
Chicago yeah, so looks do I, really good. But I don't think they're going to be good enough to, we, you know, this will be a topic for another show, but the Central Division being the powerhouse is not the case this year. It's the Metro, and.
Ottawa 5-1-1 against the Metro this year.
Well, then maybe Ottawa's the class of the league.
Thank you. And beating Chicago last night, just
yeah,
for the
I saw
record.
That too. The Kings of the Central, so clearly Sens going all the way this year.
Thank you, Guy Boucher.
Mike Condon in goal.
Yep. fucking talking about hater.
Yeah, it's true.
Look way up, Jerome. Way up the fucking standings.
I can't see that from here.
Yeah, exactly. Take a look at this, Mayo.
That was the big, a huge one, right? There was a weekday morning, I think. The Lexand shootout against the Americans.
I had it on at work. I'm listening to the streaming, the TSN stream.
Right. And it's...
And then turning it back on when I'm...
Do you remember who the second Canadian shooter who was on fire that day was? You're on the... I can tell you're sounding it out.
I'm stuck between...
Former Oiler.
Yeah, I keep wanting to say...
I think he's out of the league now, actually.
I keep wanting to say Colangelo, but it's not.
It's Cogliano.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they're going in, and they're doing their thing. And on the other end, it's three guys. Do you got them?
It's one of the... It's Eric Johnson?
No, Jack Johnson.
Jack Johnson?
Yeah.
It's, is it Kane?
Yep. The third is the real tricky one. Former Avalanche, former Coyote.
Okay, wait. Oof. The Coyote bit
throws
it
off. He also is out of the league now.
Okay, now what do you got?
Peter Mueller.
Oh, he was supposed to be, to be the best American player at that tournament.
Yep. Patrick Kane. Said yeah, otherwise.
yeah, but I'm just saying at that
no,
time.
No, you're right. It was a big deal.
Mueller was all the headline.
Yeah, because you were trying to figure out who was going to match up against the Mueller line when you were Canada. That was
turns out nobody had to.
Well, we did have to go to a shootout with them, but and Carey Price. There's always that footage of that one that you can't quite. He's got his legs together. Yeah. It looks like he's going, yeah. And then all of a sudden his legs turn to the side, pulling it off the goal line. Man, that was an unbelievable.
Because you never see it.
No. And that's it. That's the rule. But he's just the way these legs all of a sudden both just turn and pull the fuck back. Yeah. It's not there. It's not behind him.
Well, and see, and that's the thing that, and the beauty of that was you had guys shooting. That's the first time I think most of us had seen one shooter shoot multiple times,
yes,
right?
It was.
Taves, three goals, three different shots.
Yeah. All taking the leap into the bench.
Yeah, but Johnson
afterwards.
Shot twice, yep. I think.
Mueller for sure shot twice.
Right. And so, but I think they run the risk. The NHL is sort of toying with the idea of adopting that. Right. You saw TJ Oshie at the Olympics and
became a
in
star.
Sochi, right. With his outstanding.
Yeah. Against
was,
the Russians.
He was money against the Russians in
yep.
Sochi.
Going up. It's him over and over and over and over against alternating Datsyuk and Kovalchuk.
Right, and they could have just, honestly, they just could have kept throwing Oshie out there, and he was just killing it.
Well, at the end, he wasn't coming on to the bench anymore. He was leaning against the boards waiting to go again.
Like,
it was wild
and
to watch.
So the NHL is looking at it, whereas, you know, at least kicking the tires on trying that.
Yeah.
I think it's too much of a good thing, man. I think if you go that route.
But the NHL is not getting a piece of that good thing, so they don't give a shit, right?
This is, no, but I'm saying,
going to be our good thing. Fuck the fans.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. But yeah, to me that is a, and I don't even remember the gold medal game. That was a semifinal game too, right?
Yeah.
Like the Canada-Russia game in Ottawa.
Well, this was different. They played the Swedes to overtime. I'll give you a kajillion fake dollars if you name the goal scorer from the overtime.
Canada-Sweden?
Yep. Also was an over, like I said, it was an overtime
game. He's a Western guy?
I don't even know.
Got a big marshmallowy head?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. I can picture him.
Or no, I think he might have been like a Kitchener guy.
What's his name?
Matt Halaschuk.
Okay.
Scores the overtime winner with Ryan Holzapfel on the ice with him. A couple of big time. That's
the beauty of the
that
tournament.
That is a great thing. That is his high. That kid scored overtime winning goal for Team Canada at the World Juniors with a nation watching. And that's as high as he ever got. That's the beauty of the event, right?
Man.
Why shouldn't he have his 15 minutes?
And who was on that Swedish team just to put you on the spot now?
Oh, man, I'd be guessing. But, well, at that era, would it not have been
Jakob
Carlson?
Markstrom?
Yeah, maybe. But would not Erik Karlsson have been on that team?
You know who may have been on there is what's-his-face from...
Well, not Hedman.
You sure? Hedman's older. Hedman's a year older than Karlsson.
Okay.
And Karlsson, I think Karlsson.
Maybe Hedman was then. I think Hedman would have been on that team.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is where I'm going with. Jakob Markstrom.
I'm struggling to remember the Canadians. Swedes?
You're going
to
throw Matt Halaschuk at me, right? Yeah. Honestly, I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see him coming in from the left side of the net.
To me, Ryan Holzapfel is the better.
Well, that's a good get. I don't even remember that. I don't even remember that guy. That name doesn't even sound familiar to me.
4-on-4, right? That would have been, I think, a Mark Stahl year on defense, maybe. And it was a
Mark Stahl. Mark Stahl always means to me.
Colton Tubert.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it was maybe the captain.
Chris Russell.
Oiler, great.
Yeah.
An Oiler legend.
Alberta legend, I think.
Yeah, okay, we'll go with that. It's always a fun tournament, man.
And it's these stories, right? And to circle back, you know, one year they had it in Red Deer, and that's the Daniel Tkachuk, and they all had the red Stetsons.
That was awesome.
Right, and then they came back. They won that year, and then they came back, and they had Luongo was in goal in Winnipeg.
Was Winnipeg, I think.
And Tkachuk was back.
Yep.
Right, and he spelled it different. He was like a...
CZ.
Yeah, and so I remember because... Phoenix and Winnipeg had already left and gone to Phoenix at that point.
Yeah.
Right. So there was no NHL team in Winnipeg anymore. And I remember the sign saying, our Tkachuk with the CZ is better than your Tkachuk.
I forgot about it.
Right. With the TK anyways.
Yeah. No, yeah. It was, it's an awesome event. And the best part of it, I think.
Kovalchuk was the big guy for the Russians in Winnipeg that year too.
Yes, that's right.
Killed us. He was, he's been an international Canada killer.
Well,
right?
I think he was, I scored the World Championships the only time we ever hosted that.
Right,
Quebec
City Halifax? They were splitting it?
Yep.
Heatley and Spezza.
But do you remember Kovalchuk was also the guy, I don't remember if it was a year after or a year before this, where he scored on the empty net against Canada and rode his stick?
Yeah, fuck that guy. I hate that guy.
I think life already has. He's back in the cage.
Well, this is it. And overlooked for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Well, and he's back. He's back there because he's just
lazy.
Well, and he just said, "Yeah, I'm leaving," and he still has this huge deal with New Jersey. I think.
I'm glad my team doesn't have that GM.
Yeah. Well, he's done quite well.
It's true.
He's done quite well in terms of.
I choose to believe it's Kyle Dubas stopping old senile Lou.
Doobie doo. Yeah, well, Lou, I think, and nobody has any beards, and they got short hair, and
that's really.
You know, you don't have any fucking broadcasters on your team flight and shit. You know, the important stuff, Lou's taking care of.
Yeah, exactly, the stuff that really matters on a winner. So the apparently, I mean, at this point, we're both just guessing. The only point we seem to be disagreeing on is where the Finns are going to finish, but you don't think this is a Canada year.
I don't think this is a Canada year.
So are you calling out for the Americans versus the Swedes in the final? The Russians?
I'm willing to say...
It's hard to say with the Russians.
I never want to put my hopes on the Russians.
Yeah.
So I think it's the Americans.
Yeah.
Right? I think... I just... Yeah, and I have no reason.
Yeah.
One way or the other, I don't.
Betting on this tournament is a fool's fucking.
Well, and you know what the beauty of this is, and I'm not a big, and you and I have already touched on this a bunch of times. March Madness.
Yeah. Yeah, you know there's something crazy coming.
Crazy shit happens all the time.
The Swiss are going to knock off someone.
Well, you're dealing with teenagers.
Yeah. The pressure gets to you. Or
not
you make a
hardened, experienced pros.
Remember
these
when
guys,
Peter Mrazek in the Czechs?
Beat the Americans.
Yeah, and right? Mrazek's like Lambo leaping.
Yeah, this is it, right? And that is, and I don't say the time, because former 67 go, yeah. And I'm thinking, that's the highlight of that guy's career. Well,
whoops.
Yeah, look at him in Detroit, right? Yeah,
he's doing all right.
But... yeah, that kind of stuff, right? You go, what the hell?
Yeah. No, right? Something stupid's
going to
happen.
And so it's unpredictable. You never know when the teenage brain is going to go crack all at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, it's wacky. And so I think expect the unexpected is the best part.
It's always a fun tournament. It's been fun keeping you company while you head to wherever you're going on Christmas Eve. Once you get there, if you plan to have a couple, lose your fucking keys, all right?
That's lose your... Don't lose them.
No, lose them. Lose them for the night.
Give them to somebody. Let somebody else hold them for you. I don't.
That's about as preachy as we get.
I don't advocate pitching them up on the roof. Crazy shit.
That'd be a good
like
place
that.
For them for the night.
Well, it's Christmas Eve, not New Year's.
Oh, I think we do Christmas Eve different than you do.
Okay, well, yeah. See, and I've already moved on. I'd had kids and whatever else. And
yeah, well.
So you can get shit faced on Christmas Eve if you want, but.
Sweet!
Yes. Too late. But you need to keep it, you know, Christ, man, Santa comes early.
Not for everybody.
Well, all right.
That's the Christmas Eve edition of Tall Can Sports.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
102. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you all in the new year. Enjoy the World Juniors.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.